570.
How much of the wish list will Congress get to before they head home for the holidays? Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you did all your Christmas shopping. If not, pack your patience, because the malls and the strip centers are overflowing with traffic, and the deals are there to be had for sure, but you're going to get it up at the crack of dawn to be one of the first people in the door in most of these cases, especially when it comes to electronics, your Best Buys and all that kind of stuff. They have deals, but they've got two deals. They forget to tell you that part. Oh, we have deals, but there's only a couple of those left under that current deal. You know how it works. Merry Christmas. And would you believe we're just a couple of days away? A couple of programming notes from the start of this hour here on America Tonight. We're going to go all the way through to Thursday, so there will be a Nail the Score on Thursday/Friday morning. And then we'll have our normal, if your station carries it wherever you're listening to, ATN, we'll have our normal Friday playback show, but Saturday and Sunday off is normal. We're just taking the extra day Sunday, so that's our gift to you. I hope you're all chilling with your families and have plans to do so anyway, because that's only a handful of days away. Think about some of the big stories of 2010. We're going to talk about that on our next show. The entertainment world, business, sports, politics, you name it. What were the most popular stories of 2010? Boy, if we had to narrow that down to just 10 on the list, I have my 10, but you might argue that some of them could be probably bumped off the list for a few others. It was a wild year, really. You know, pick a subject, any subject, and we can talk about it, whether it was WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, whether it was some of the things that happened in the entertainment world, some of the people that we lost this year, some of the crazy, crazy stories that broke concerning illicit affairs, like Tiger Woods, who just said, forget it, throw in the towel. When it got to, what was it, like, February, March, the jig was up. That was it. He was going nowhere in that marriage and vice versa. So that ended, and so did some of the paparazzi crazy coverage that they had for almost a year. And he's old news. Now there's certainly more titillating things to talk about. You want to put our Bad Boys column together. We already have that. And that's going to be the subject of our upcoming show. In the meantime, though, let's stick with Congress and what they're doing. We know that the Bush tax cuts won't expire. That gets extended for 2 years. Also, as part of that, unemployment for 13 months. That was the big compromise. That was voted on, stamped, boom, done. The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell might have surprised some. There were enough votes, 65 to 31, over the weekend. The Senate said, we're repealing it. 8 Republicans joined up for the fight against the Clinton policy. 17 years, Don't Ask, Don't Tell was around. So the bill goes to the Prez for his signature next week. It's supposed to be implemented by the Pentagon, 2011, probably 90 days or so. Could be a little bit longer. And this has been one of the things that Obama did say since he was on the campaign trail that he was going to work on. So finally, it's happened. And what a struggle it was to see that all the way through, even though actually there was the support of most of the military. The top brass completely supported it. The Joint Chiefs, of course, Mullen did. Also the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, did. But they weren't able to break the log jam until now. So what's going to be interesting is, what's the aftermath of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? What does that mean? A couple of things in implementing it for the military, but also, what does it mean for gay rights across the country in general? Does this, the repealing of this, does this lead to some of the gay marriage discussions and some of the resolutions and whatnot that have been put together in various cities. Even though it's the military, is this something that carries over into the civilian world? Moving from that to the START Treaty, what's the scoop on START? This was also one of the big priorities of the president, saying we got to get this deal done with Russia. It's too important to the security of our future, that kind of stuff. Remember, the START Treaty is non-binding, but pretty significant because really neither side, you know, they don't want it thrown back in their face. That, oh, well, wait a second, you signed this. You know, they don't want that to happen. Now, Mitch McConnell says this is ridiculous. They're trying to jam this through again. Here we go again. It's deja vu in a different direction. How can we possibly not tweak this? How can we possibly just sign this? It's too complicated to vote on this arms control treaty with Russia. And rushing it right before Christmas is trying to jam us up. So here are two different points of view. John Kyle, who agrees with Mitch McConnell, the senator from Arizona, and John Kerry from Massachusetts, of course, longtime liberal senator from Massachusetts. Here was his take. Take a listen.
Absolutely. Yes, this treaty needs to be fixed, and we are not going to have the time to do that in the bifurcated way or trifurcated way that we're dealing with it here with other issues being parachuted in all the time.
We are proceeding forward on the understanding within the treaty, within the four corners of the treaty, there is zero restriction on U.S. missile defense.
All right, this is a new piece of information that we've gotten from our folks in D.C. McConnell, late on Sunday night, did say the Senate's going to vote Tuesday to end debate on the treaty and move to the final vote, so they're going to cut to the chase. Either we do or we don't have enough votes for this, and the Democrats believe they might have just enough votes. The Republicans are saying not so fast. They don't think that they're going to have enough votes. So a sixth day of debate scheduled for Monday. There's going to be closed session to talk about intelligence issues. And this was a rare Sunday session of the Senate. How many times do you think they do that? Rare. Rare is the key word in that sentence. So surprisingly, a lot is happening with the lame duckers. A lot is happening. So after this big shellacking in the November midterm elections, you know, if they ratified the treaty, boy, that would be a whole bunch of wins across the board for the White House with the tax compromise and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and then START. Guarantee they'd be waving that flag big time. Remember, treaties require a two-thirds majority of those voting in the Senate, and Republican votes are critical to this happening. Democrats expect to get 57 from their caucus, and we'll see if they get the Republican votes they think that they're going to get, or no, they don't have it. And I've said this over and over and over and over and over again. One of the things that I think is crazy is that they have to be careful with, besides the amount of nukes that you're talking about reducing, is what about the defense systems? What is the verbiage about the defense systems? That's what I would be curious about, and that's what would make me a little bit uneasy. Hang with us. We're kicking the can down the road.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237, and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River.
So welcome back to this edition of America Tonight. If you're listening to us in California, boy, I hope you have your galoshes on. Terrible storms, lots of flooding. I've got a pal in L.A., and pretty much she said she had to do the James Bond thing where your car has to float. So there were a lot of floating cars, let's say, in California. We'll talk about the weather. It's always part of the topic here on America Tonight. But I said we were going to dive into the whole marriage thing. You know, holidays in the marriage can be pretty tough. And Alicia Bowman has written a book called Project Happily Ever After. Alicia, thanks for hanging late with us on ATM. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
All right, let's talk about, first of all, so if somebody just saw the title of this book, Happily Ever After. So I'm assuming we're going to go down a road where we're not talking about divorce. We're talking about somehow sticking it out, right?
Yes, yes. I use that phrase because, you know, when we read fairy tales, it always ends with the couple who just met going happily ever after off into the distance. And we tend to use that as we have this fairy tale version of marriage, and we kind of assume that, you know, the biggest struggle is getting the wedding done, and then after that, it's all like honky-dory and no problems. But we know from statistics that that's really not true, and any of us who have struggled in our marriage know that it's not true. And so the book is about my personal journey, falling in love, falling very much out of love, and then doing the hard work to get back to an in-love place.
How did you know when you, I mean, that was it, you just fell out of love and you're like, ugh, how did you know you were stuck?
Oh, how did I know? Well, I can give you a lot of the symptoms. I think we had pretty much all of them, but sexually. I couldn't remember the last time we'd done it, and I truly didn't care. Huge problem.
Right.
Conversations. We'd go out to eat, and I'd stare at my husband, and I'd think, I can't think of a single thing to say to him. Huge problem. Romance. Not only did I not feel adored by him, I really didn't know how to tell him what I wanted him to do. I had no idea what I wanted. Intimacy. We really didn't even make eye contact. We had just, most of the times when we communicated, it was either fighting or silence, and there wasn't much in between. So, you know, I didn't feel connected. I didn't feel close. I didn't feel supported. That's a very bad place to be in for a marriage.
Boy, no kidding. Did you tell your friends about it?
For the longest time, I stayed silent. I had this myth in my mind. I mean, I didn't know it was a myth at the time, but I thought I was the only person in my life who was in an unhappy marriage, and I thought I was just this lone failure. I'd accidentally married the wrong person, and here all of my friends had all married great, and I thought they were all happy. So for a very long time, I was silent. And when I did talk about it, I talked about it sort of in an angry rant, but not so much in a asking for advice or support or, you know, are you guys going through this too kind of place. And it wasn't really until we had turned a corner and we had worked on our marriage and I really started opening up. I started blogging about it and writing about it and really talking with just about anybody who would sit and listen to me that I realized how common it was. And maybe people weren't struggling with it at that actual moment, but they had been there earlier in their marriage. So the vast majority of people I talked to completely understood the struggle.
Yeah, and what I love is, well, now you can laugh about it, but you talk about fantasizing about your husband Mark's death and who you would
yes.
date after he was dead. Oh, my. Did you share that with him?
Yeah, I mean, later on. And, you know, when right before we really started working on our marriage, I had what I called the intervention talk, but I really sat down with him and I said, look, these are the things I'm doing in my mind. I mean, this is not good. I'm envisioning you conveniently dropping dead in a million different ways. I've already planned your funeral on the off chance that it actually happens. And, yeah, you know, I'm worried I'm going to have an affair. I don't feel adored by you, and I'm worried that given a moment of opportunity, I'll seek it out from somebody else. And, you know, it was a hard conversation to have, but it was probably one of the best conversations we had because, you know, up until then we had just been fighting about really minutia, like how to do the laundry, what's allowed to go on the bathroom counter, you know, fights that are really about nothing except for anger and control. And here was the first time we'd had a real conversation about the state of our marriage, and that was a true turning point for us.
Okay, so Project Happily Ever After, to get to that point, and you share all this in your book, but when you know you're at that plateau where, oof, I'm either going to bail, because a lot of people, you know this, will just bail. A lot of guys mm-hmm. will do that. They'll just bail. They'll just say, forget it. I'm sick of this. I'm not going to do this anymore. Or try to find someone else, like you said, have an affair, and then go in that direction. So when you get to that point, what are some of the steps that you found to making it work, to making it better, to opening up?
Sure. I mean, one is to commit to your marriage. You're right. The affair isn't a solution. It's sort of like putting a Band-Aid over it and going into denial. And the vast majority of people, their affairs are found out, and then the marriage is over. And I hear from a lot of people who regret their affairs and wish that they had never gone that route. And then, you know, with divorce, I'm not necessarily against divorce, but I am against misery. So, you know, the misery is caused by making no decision, you know, committing to nothing, just sitting and letting your life happen to you. Mm-hmm. And so I think the first step is really realizing that you have a choice. You're not stuck. You can choose to do something, you can choose to get out of it, or you can choose to do nothing. So make the choice to do something. And then the second would be to realize that you're a part of the problem. And this was really hard for me because I thought my bad marriage was all my husband's fault. And I could have convinced anybody. I could have been on the radio with you a few years ago, and I'm sure I would have convinced you that it was all his fault. I was very good at convincing myself of this, everybody in my life of this. But you know what? It wasn't. And it took me a long time to admit that I was part of the problem. One of the main problems in our marriage was that I didn't voice my concerns. I didn't tell him how I felt. I didn't ask him to do the things I wanted him to do. I wanted him to read my mind, and lo and behold, he really does not have ESP. So once I learned how to be assertive, I mean, it's amazing how fast things changed once I learned how to be assertive.
Wow. And that's what people say. People will say, that with besides the mind reading thing, that men don't understand women, women don't understand men. Do you think that's true? There's been a lot of books written about that.
Yeah, it might be male, female, but it also just might be that you are two people with two separate brains, and we tend to think that we share the same brain, and we tend to think that we completely know our spouse because we've lived in the same house for so many years, but you really don't. And even now, I'm so close to my husband, but I'm always aware of the fact that he doesn't know what I'm thinking, and I don't know what he's thinking. And we are very stereotypical in some ways. He's a very male, male, and I'm a very female, female. But I've seen other relationships where, you know, the stereotypes really don't hold true, but they're still two different people, and you just can't assume that your spouse knows what you're thinking, and you can't assume that you know what your spouse is thinking.
Yeah. One of the things you say in your book, and you talked about this, that there was no sex, no romance going on. You got to have that to make it work, right?
Oh, you do, and it can be created. But one of the myths about romance and attraction and sex is that it's all about chemistry. And, you know, we're fed this basically because of TV and movies and fairy tales, and because you have that mystical chemistry when you first meet. But, you know, you can create it, and it's about finding ways to adore each other. It's about finding ways to turn each other on in the bedroom. A lot of it is about trial and error and problem solving and creativity. For instance, with romance, I had to redefine my definition of romance, because when I first met my husband, it was very stereotypical. I thought, oh, romance is flowers, it's gifts, it's dinners out, it's going to the movies and things like that. Well, you know, after you become a parent, those things don't matter so much to you anymore. And it got to the point where I was like, you know, romance is when he wakes up and goes to work before I do, and on his way to his car, he notices that my windows are all frozen over, and he scrapes them off for me. A romance, you know what I mean? It's stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's how your spouse makes you feel loved and important. So that's different for every couple, and you really need to talk about, okay, how are some ways you can show me and make me feel important in your life?
Yeah, what a great way to end this interview. ProjectHappilyEverAfter.com, that's the blog. You can pick up the book. It's available at Amazon.com and any of the bookstores that we all frequent. Alicia, thanks so much for sharing your story with us, and good luck with this current book.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And listen, this lady's not a stranger to writing books. She co-authored 7 New York Times bestsellers. And she really does say pretty much, hey, this is the deal. He's a guy's guy. I'm a woman's woman. And here's what happened in our marriage. And I guarantee there's some guys hanging around listening to this and say, oh, that sounds familiar. The cold shoulder. Better to not be stuck, though. I think I agree with her completely on that. All right, we're not stuck. Coming up on the flip side, we've got odds and ends. Hang through.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when Extendivite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and 5 other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of Extendivite.
Extendivite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to Extendivite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. You've heard me talk about the delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. I've told you for years that eFoodsDirect has the best storable food on the planet. Now it's that time of year again, and their holiday special is here. They have two holiday-priced packs for you to put into your reserves for a secure future or to share with others. The first is a 6-month bulk supply in 10 cans. And the second is a 5-week supply of quick and easy to fix meals, including delicious bakery items shipped in heavy tote bags. Now, for a limited time, when you order two or more of these special holiday packs, you'll get free shipping on your entire order. Call now, 800-409-5633, or visit them at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. That's 800-409-5633. Or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
In 1965, this was the sound. Commission's done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Fantasy. Metal drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
All right, topping odds and ends. I mentioned this brutal weather in Cali. If you pick this time of year and you're from California and you're going home, bring your galoshes because they've got all kinds of storms, brutal storms that have led to flooding. I mean, honestly, if you live in California long enough, you experience everything, including snow at some point, depending on where you live, right? Because the earthquake, there's always the possibility of the big one, but probably at some point there's at least a small quake. And then you have the mudslides, and then you have the fires, and then you have the flooding. You know the old song from a zillion years ago, it never rains in Southern California? That's just not true. Eventually it does. And when it does, it's like buckets of rain. So they've had a series of winter storms that slammed down on them in Cali, in Los Angeles, especially Southern California, on Saturday. So you got flooding and the mud flow warnings are out there. Then you had wildfires that were right in front of the weekend rains. So that creates the other situations, the mudslide situations. And, you know, the National Weather Service, I saw a quote from one of the weather guys, and they said, this is one big mother. And it's going to have a lot of waves in it. When they say that, you want to kind of go inland, I think, when you're like in Malibu or one of those areas where you're right off the Pacific coast. And they say the storm's the largest that they've seen in the last decade. In the last decade. Ooh, nasty. And when you get 2 to 4 inches, like I said, it's a triple threat sometimes in the mountains. And then, of course, with the traffic, when you're talking about Interstate 5. Ever been down Interstate 5? Raise your hand. Oh, many, many times. Interstate 5 is just a nightmare. It's avoidable. You have to avoid it. In other words, whether it's avoidable or not, you have to find a way to avoid it. And they're talking about the fact that over the weekend they had so many traffic accidents that already in comparison they've had a fivefold increase. Now, I'm talking L.A. already. Fivefold increase. That means 264 accidents. You know how many they had this time last year? 48. 48. So now the whole wet, soggy Southern California experience is supposed to last until Thursday. Whew. Just in time for Santa, who doesn't have to hydroplane into Los Angeles. So Friday, Saturday, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas is supposed to dry up. And that, I guess, is the good news for the people living in Southern California. Like I said, you live in California, you definitely experience a little bit of everything. All right, I started off the show by talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the fact that that was repealed over the weekend, which is huge. So think about it. The lame duck Congress, actually, two things happened. One, the bipartisan, so-called bipartisan tax agreement to keep the tax push cuts and to extend unemployment for, what is it, 13 months. And now Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I really was a little surprised by this because I thought it would get clogged up in the system longer than it did. Now, it's going to be up for grabs because there's always the chance of repealing it once you go back in January. And John McCain, well, as I already mentioned him, he was just furious over the passing of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So what does this mean? It's very strange because now you have people who served who were running back to re-enlist. The Pentagon is saying lifting the ban is going to take time. So Defense Secretary Robert Gates is reminding everybody who's serving that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is going to stay a military policy for a little bit longer, despite that historic Senate vote over the weekend on Saturday to overturn it. Because under the bill that was approved by the Senate, you heard the total, 65-31, the Prez and the Pentagon, hand in hand, have to certify that lifting the ban won't hurt troops' ability to fight. So it's all about what's happening on the front lines, not people behind the scenes or in other forts or bases or whatever before they go over, or perhaps they have jobs in D.C. or other places, not in Afghanistan or Iraq, for example. But after that, the military, after that's certified, the military has to undergo a 60-day wait period before any changes are made. So do the math. You know, beginning of the year, you're probably talking, if it really went in quickly, January, February, probably March, actually. And that would be fast if that happened. In fact, the defense secretary said he's going to start the process right now, but that the certification won't come until there's a careful consultation with the military service dudes, the chiefs, and all the combat commanders. So everybody has to be involved in this. So just because it gets green-lighted over the weekend doesn't mean it's going to happen overnight, even though there are a lot of people that are going to assume, okay, I'm back in. I'm in the game. In the game, but in reserve status for now. I mean, when I say reserve status, waiting to make this happen because it's just one of those things, as Gates said, they're concerned, because Gates was for this. It was for the repeal, but their concern is jamming this down the throats of everybody on the front lines, that it can't happen that soon. Nothing in the military, if any of you have ever been in the military, you know, nothing in the military happens that quickly. It takes a little bit longer to make what happens in Congress ultimately, or what happens on paper, becomes a bill, becomes law, a reality. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Sam, you're our leadoff guy. How are you doing?
What do I always say?
Simply fantastic.
You must be jumping for joy.
Because of the Eagles?
Of course.
Yeah. It was a good finish. It was a good finish that they, you know, hey, they won the game, but it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, but you'll take, but knowing you being a diehard Eagles fan, you'll take it any which way you can. You'll take it any which way you can, six ways from Sunday.
Oh, absolutely, because now we're down to the tail end of the season, and these games are big, and, you know, that was for the lead in the NFC East, so that was important, because now you want to try to play, or if you think you're going to be in the playoffs anyway, which I think they certainly will be, you want to play for home field advantage. As much home field as you can get, you want.
You know, anyway, about this, don't ask, don't tell. My personal attitude, I don't care who you sleep with.
Right.
I mean, there was a girl where I worked told me she came out and said she was a lesbian. I just went, you know, I put my finger in my mouth and went, you know, like pop, like whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, where's who report, cares?
You know, like, where's the report I asked for? I mean, okay, fine. I mean, my attitude, I mean, you want to tell me you're gay? Hey, great. You don't want to tell me? That's also great. So this, that, don't ask, don't tell, or whether you know, that you appeal it. For me personally, what's the big deal? As long as you know how to shoot and you protect, you'll protect, and if we were in the military, you protect me in times of war. That's the way I look at it. What you do in your off time, if you're on leave, R&R, whatever you want to call it, I don't care what you do. So, you know, at least that's with me. And I don't know why McCain...
Well, see, here's what's interesting is because, remember, if we go back 17 years, it was a Democrat that put this into play. It was Bill Clinton.
Right.
And Colin Powell at the time was the one who also, supposedly, according to Clinton, who was president then, said that he was really talked into it by Powell, that this was the best way to go, that this is how you can let people serve and not have a big problem with this whole thing. And it's a mix. If we're being really honest, not from my point of view, because I agree with you, who cares? Who cares? Who cares? Right. Who cares? We don't care. You know what? If I have the best sharpshooter, the best guy protecting me, the best guy in the squad with me crawling around in these horrible conditions where I could have my arm blown off, I want the best dude with me. I don't care. You're right. Unless it was some bizarre, overt thing where the person was hitting on everybody, then that's not acceptable, and that wouldn't work with a group of really He-Man guys who were manly men. They would,
Marines and all that.
Right. That wouldn't work.
Right.
Because that certainly, they're not walking into a gay bar, so they don't want that atmosphere in where they serve, and whether it's Afghanistan or Iraq or some other place. But the point is now they have this policy for 17 years, so they are right about that they have to implement it correctly, because you can't do that. The military doesn't do things that way.
It's just
like pulling out troops. People think, oh, boom, slap my, we have the orders, and then we can just take out all the equipment. It doesn't work that way. There's too much stuff to move. There's too much logistics to it. So they do have to have time for that.
Right. And now, why is McCain PO'd about this?
Because he doesn't think it's right during the time of war to change the policy. He says you're in the middle of this, situation, the lives invested, the money invested, he didn't even go the money route, to switch gears on people in the middle of this situation is not what you want to do. I don't think he was against it all the way across the board. I think it was more about this isn't the right time to do this. Why are we doing this now?
Okay, I'm thinking maybe because, he's a little bit on the ultra-conservative side, I think, at least.
Sure. Constituency is probably playing to the politics of it,
Okay.
But also, too, remember, he's a lifelong military guy.
Right.
And you remember what he went through with the POW camp for 5 years.
Right.
And then coming out of that, and he understands the military. There is a big difference. It's true. There is a big difference between you served and you didn't serve. You talk to people who served, they tell you about what it's really like. I mean, that old expression about, I want him in the foxhole with me.
Right.
They understand that. They understand what the foxhole is and what it means. Hey, Sam, we're out of time. We're up against it. Thanks for the phone call. Coming up on the flip side, we can count.
What one food can help you to lose fat, build lean muscle, improve immune function, improve blood sugar and mood, support normal blood pressure, detoxify, reduce inflammation, and increase endurance? This one superfood in nature comes from unheated whey protein powder from grass-fed cows. Of all the whey protein powders on the market, there is only one that is both unheated and from grass-fed cows. It is called One World Whey. It is well known that the support of your entire body's repair from whey protein powder is superior to milk, eggs, meat, or any vegetarian protein. One World Whey can offer you a real boost in your health and well-being. If you'd like more energy or want to lose fat or gain muscle, or if you want to feel better or have more endurance for work or play, then try One World Whey. It comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
If you own a septic system, or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use, 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems, and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge. Costly pump outs and repairs and remove septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Of We Can Count here on America Tonight. By the way, if you have any suggestions for We Can Count, a clever little story in your neck of the woods, shoot it to me at americatonight.net. Here's one from Sacramento. The treasurer's office is used to writing a lot of checks, as they say, not really getting them. But they did get a big check. How about that? It was written out to the state of California. That's it. Just said state of California, 10 grand. The guy who sent the check lives in South Carolina. He wasn't behind on taxes or in trouble with law or any of that kind of nonsense. He says he just wanted to send the state a check for a sort of a thank you that he received decades earlier. Apparently, 74-year-old Dennis Ferguson lived in Cali, like so many of us have at some point in our life. You have to go through California. You do. I think you have to at least pass through California. Anyway, he lived in California 46 years ago, and at the time he said he needed help. He collected unemployment for 5 months. He said it totaled out to about $1,100 in payments from the state. He used the money to pay for his temporary housing and learn computer programming. He was able to get back on his feet. He got off unemployment, yada, yada. So the story has a happy ending. And then he was able to make a bunch of money because he had this skill. So he decided he was going to write a check to the state for 10 grand. And that it wasn't specific as to what the state of California should use it for, but just he wanted the state of California to have it. How about that? I'm sure that is very rare. Do you think in any other state can boast getting a check from somebody who used to live there? Because, oh, gee, thanks for the unemployment. Thanks for the handouts, and here's the money back. Oh, well. Wonder what they're going to do with the check. I want to know if they're going to give it back or they're going to just, you know, take it like a donation. We're California. We're now accepting donations. Let's stick with money. Bank of America says it's going to no longer process any of the transactions, not one, not two, not three, not four, for the website WikiLeaks. This is just what other financial people have done who have been connected to WikiLeaks. It's kind of like a little punishment for Julian Assange. So MasterCard pulled out, PayPal, they've stopped handling payments, and now Bank of America has decided to do the same thing. So WikiLeaks responded with a little Twitter message urging supporters to stop doing business with the Bank of America. How many people do you think are going to stop doing business with the Bank of America? The problem is there's this many banks, you know, that just tiny. Picture my hands where I have not even far apart enough for goalposts. That's how many banks are left in America. Now, there's some local banks, but then there's problems that can often be associated with banking locally. And when you hit the big banks, they seem to be, like I said, they seem to be shrinking. And, you know, you get a bank. This happened to me. The best bank I ever banked at, Commerce Bank. You know what's so cool about Commerce Bank? You know when you bring in all your 10,000 jars of pennies and nickels and dimes and quarters? Well, you know, that adds up after a while. So when you went to Commerce Bank, you could just put the money in this change counter thing. Like they have this Coinstar that's now in grocery stores and whatnot in the United States for people listening to us there. They probably have something similar in Europe and other places. But they take a percentage of it. And they didn't do that at Commerce Bank. I thought that was pretty good. And plus they just, boom, you just count it, you take it up there, and you get money for it. And they also gave you free checking and some other things. It seems like every time I turn around, because I am a Bank of America, or as I like to call it, Bank of Mexico bank, that's my bank, I feel like every time I turn around, they're slapping me with some incredible fee, like some usage fee. We vacuumed your account, and it costs you $25. And then, oh, 2 months later, then it's $18. Then there's some other weird fee that just flies in from left field. And every time it seems as I go to the bank, I've asked for 15 forms of identification, but I'll see, and this is no exaggeration, I'll see two and three people around me speaking, I don't know what language, not even Spanish. They'll dump bags of money, and they're not asking for any identification with these people. They're nothing. I don't say, oh, no ID, no worries. You're not an American? Cool. We'll take your money. That's fine. We'll open an account for you, but then they'll ask me for 20 forms of ID. I hate it. Maybe it's time to shop for another bank. Okay, so 9/11, backers of the 9/11 health bill are feeling a little bit more optimistic. I mean, we all know what happened on that horrible day, September 11th, the attacks and the dust at the World Trade Center. And then, oh, don't worry, you're breathing in the dust, it's perfectly fine. And then, oh, guess what, it's not perfectly fine. So how to pay for the first responders and the aid that they need? Democratic Senators Kirsten Gillibrand and Chuck Schumer, who often I'm not on the same side as Chuck Schumer, but I will say I agree with this. They say that they're offering a less costly alternative to the original bill to help the responders and survivors. They think it'll gain that support from Republicans. So this is a good thing. It looks like they're trying to play together in the schoolyard called My Money and Your Money. So I think that the first responders should be taken care of. So if there's a way to work this bill out and figure out how to pay for it, then do it. Don't sit around any longer on this. So Republicans were concerned about that. They were concerned about the costs of the bill and how we're going to pay for it. But it looks like there may be an alternative to it. So they're optimistic that the Senate might approve the measure before the lame duck session ends. Boy, that's incredible. The do-nothingness of lame duck and what that word entails, throw it out the window with these guys. If that happens, you're talking about one, two, three, it looks like maybe even four things have happened in this short window of time, and a lot of it with cooperation. Could there be a breakthrough in Washington? And then when you re-rack and come back in January and you're looking at a whole set of new faces, I'll be curious as to how that goes. And will there still be that spirit of cooperation? If you go back in history, a lot of times when the president, that's the interesting thing, when the president does not have Congress in his pocket, so to speak, with the party lines, more is done. I mean, comb through, if you actually comb through and look at some of the laws and some of the bigger things that were accomplished in our entire history, you could point to some key things that happened when that was the scenario we're talking about. It's like Bill Clinton, and how much did he get done? He got more done when he had to deal with the Republicans. So who knows? I mean, maybe it is a brand new day. I'm saying optimistically. Hey, coming up later this week on America Tonight, a couple of things I want to remind everybody. We will have another version of Nail the Score because, yes, we were here all the way through Friday morning, Thursday night / Friday morning, depending on where you live. And also we're going to take a look back at some of the big stories that broke in 2010. A cool thing to do at the end of the year is to look back at the year and then to look forward as to what do you think some of the things are that could happen heading into 2011, whether it's sports or business or politics or something else. Let's hope we don't have more reality shows, although it'd be a safe thing to predict that you can count on maybe, I don't know, a dozen more reality shows. If anything, the last decade has been about that. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and looking back at 2010, what was the biggest reality show? Crazy enough, the uneducated goons on Jersey Shore captivated America. 6 million viewers. Just crazy. Of course, American Idol would still be considered, I guess, a reality show, and that would, even though they lost some viewers, that would be considered a top draw, as would Dancing with the Stars. But the second tier of reality shows, these unknown group of Jersey Shore kids, man, I still cannot figure that one out. Can you?
What, are you kidding me?
Idiot! It's simple!
I appreciate your understanding.
Don't think twice. It's understanding that makes it possible for people like us to tolerate a person like yourself.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.